Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Happy Tuesday to you. I'm Andy Griffin. Gil Almquist, County Commissioner, is with me today. Hi, Gil. How are you?
That's another beautiful day in Dixie.
Got himself a haircut and everything. He's looking fantastic. You're probably like 4 pounds lighter.
I told my wife, I said, you may not like it, but I'm sure she'd cut off 3 pounds.
Gil and I had the opportunity about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago to play some pickleball. That was fun.
You are very good, and your wife is great.
You know what? I will say this. If you're complimenting me, you're complimenting you, because I felt like we were all very even there that played that evening.
Well, we switched around teams, and I think all of us, we played one game for half an hour. It was just so close.
Well, I'm happy to report that when Milt and I were on a team, when Gil and I were on a team together, we did win. Was it 2 out of 3 or did we win 2 in a row? I know we won the best of 3. So
yeah, and
I'm happy about that.
Yeah, you have the reach of like Goliath. You can't get it over your head.
Yeah, and a little known fact, I did play on the high school tennis team doubles. Mm-hmm. Me and my buddy who is, I was 6'5", he was 6'4", but he had, I swear to you, he could tie his shoes without bending over. His arms were so long. And we would go, and our whole goal was to both of us get to the net as soon as possible because it was pretty hard to get it past us at the net. And that's kind of that way in pickleball. I try to get there as soon as I can. So
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. And Gil's a pretty good player.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. Now, somebody asked me, you guys have the pickleball on the roof, right, of your building?
Yes.
Top floor. Do you get out on that court very often? Is it
I haven't. Oh, okay. We were going to open up that entire facility on the top to the public, and then we had a local judge say, that's not a key government function. And we said, well, we want to have events up there. We want it to be a public space. And so gradually we have worked out to where we can have employees, and they use it a lot. And then we're going to, for example, we offered it to senior games, and Kyle's still chewing on that, see if how that works, because they like to have it all in one place if possible.
Yeah, they'd have to move it around.
It's so popular, though, that they almost, for those early games, can't have it all in one place. So we'll see. But our goal is that that's public space.
We have, before I come on in the mornings, we have a guy named Joe Thomas that does a show, and I like, we had Matt Ray before, it was a little too middle left. Joe Thomas is way right, and I really appreciate his politics in his show, but he was talking, he actually today mentioned St. George, Utah. He says, yeah, we're on in Utah, we're in Salt Lake, Provo, and that one town in Utah that's closer to Vegas than it is Salt Lake. And he couldn't think of it. And he went to commercial break, and then he came back. I apologize to the listeners in St. George, Utah, on KDXU. So he mentioned this on the air, but as a national broadcaster. But one of the things he said was, for whatever reason, pickleball has caught on in, you know, Florida, Virginia, North Carolina. It hasn't caught on yet in the West. And I'm like, okay, hold on there, Joe.
He hasn't been here.
Have you done your research at all? Because, try any night of the week at Little Valley, right, and see 32 courts going strong, and then tell me it hasn't cut on here.
So. Yeah, well, that's like saying Harmon's doesn't sell bread.
Yeah.
No, we in the West, we know pickleball.
Yeah, we do. So, anyway, Joe, with all due respect, we are St. George, Utah. And we are, although closer to Vegas than Salt Lake, we are firmly Utah, and we love pickleball.
Yes.
All right. I got that off my chest. Did you hear about the bee infestation in Washington City yesterday?
I did hear that it was almost like a, I wouldn't say a traffic issue, but people walking and just
being attacked,
navigating around it.
So my wife is the executive assistant for Washington City, which basically that's a fancy name for if there's a problem, they call Shelley and she gets the right people assigned to take care of the problem. So, but she had left work, but her phone is connected to her work phone. So she still gets all her calls from work. We're at the doctor. She left work to go to the doctor with me. I got a scan on my leg. It's a whole different thing I don't want to get into, but, her phone starts ringing off the hook. Mm-hmm. And one of the phone calls was a guy by the name of Devin Hawes, who was in charge of this project. They're redoing the eaves on the Heritage Hall there, their new old gym is what it was called before. But they found a beehive, and when they first found it, they're like, okay, we'll just gently remove the beehive, relocate the bees, everything will be okay. Well, the more wood they took away, the deeper they got into it, the bigger this hive got. And, of course, the guys trying to expose it are being dive-bombed by these bees who have sworn their lives to protecting the queen. And last I heard, the beehive had, I don't want to put a number on it because I don't know the number, but it had gone way deep back into the eaves, and there was literally thousands of bees. And the one guy, and I'm going to do a story about it today on 890kdhq.com, but they had to shut down Veterans Park.
Oh, that's what I heard, yeah.
Yeah, this Devin guy called my wife and said, is that you? I see a woman walking over. Is that you? And my wife, no, she was at the doctor with me. She goes, that's not me. And he goes, oh, that's good, because I think that woman's about to be attacked by bees. Well, I'm glad it's not you. And he says, we've got to put some tape up and tell people there's nothing dangerous about Veterans Park. I guess bees could be dangerous theoretically, but it is a nuisance. And so, yeah, bees shut down the park today, too, yeah. I think, until they get that taken care of.
We had a neighbor who didn't really occupy the top floor of a two-story house. They lived mostly on the main floor. And and once all the kids moved out, they didn't go upstairs that much. Yeah. And they'd always had bees. Well, when the new owners bought in, they did occupy the upper floor, and the bees were, you couldn't open a window, and it was just so they finally had an exterminator come in who said, hey, there are people all over that want bees, let me vacuum them up. Literally, they vacuum them up, and it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, they use
bees.
An actual vacuum. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah,
anyway, they took out 800 pounds of honeycomb.
Oh, wow.
And took off the whole ceiling inside. I mean, it was amazing how big that was.
Imagine how much honey butter you could make. No, that's terrible. That would be good. Yeah.
Well, bless the bees. We need them, but it's always an interesting scenario.
I was talking with my brother last night at dinner, and he was attacked at one point. He was trimming some hedges and got attacked by hornets.
Oh, those are horrible.
And I was like, you know, the bees I can respect, because when they decide to sting you, they realize they're giving their life for the protection of the queen. The sting is going to kill them because it literally takes off a part of their body. Hornets, they're just mean, man. They're just they're stabbing the crap out of you and just making you feel miserable.
And they stab you multiple times.
Yeah,
and
they don't have any problem with that, and they don't die.
Right.
Unless you smash them with a library book or something. Anyway, we're way off topic. Greg Gil-Almquist is here. A lot of talk about the Celeste Molloy bill, basically trying to release some land that can be bought by county and city for, in my mind, I'm thinking infrastructure, things like, you know, just piping and electricity and things to help. But maybe you can, because I haven't had an expert on, so Gil, you just became the expert. Maybe you can explain to me, okay, explain to me what the point of this bill is and what it includes and doesn't include.
Well, first of all, when it was first proposed that the water district was notified, than we were, that there were parcels that the BLM could sell. That's the important part. Sell.
Okay.
At market value.
So they're not giving
it
away.
A giveaway. Okay. You had to buy it. And the emphasis was transportation, public use. Granted, all BLM ground has to be for multiple public use anyway. Now, granted, over the years, certain administrations have also locked up a lot of it. But so who's the real culprit here? Well, those administrations that have said, we're taking this. Yeah. On the other hand, we can always apply to buy a piece of BLM ground. It's part of their, policy. You can offer to buy it.
Yeah.
Well, now all that Congresswoman Molloy and others who were like-minded in the West said is, federal government would like some money if there's some parcels that you feel are essential to your infrastructure, list them. And so they are widening a roadway or, you know, an easement, or it is for a water pipeline. It's interesting that it has garnered so much negativism on such a positive thing, where we're trying to build a trail from Leverkin to Zion for biking and walking. Well, some of the roadway widths are not wide enough to accommodate a nice trail. You don't want people riding right next to the road.
On the highway, no.
And so we need another 100 feet here. We need another 100 feet of width there. Then we've also, these same people that say, we're using too much water, we ought to do something. Well, the water district said, okay, we need to reuse the water we have. And we can do that and treat it to a point, not necessarily yet to drinking quality, but we can certainly put it. Well, some of those pipelines we need to distribute that water throughout the county go across BLM, usually along the side of a road or something. So,
And it is not legal to put the pipes through right now.
No, I mean, we'd have to go through decades. Do you realize it took Toker Reservoir and the BLM 20 years?
Yeah.
To get permits just to build a little reservoir. And it's getting to be so onerous that with various studies and delays that you can't do something. Well, if you own the land, it's yours then. And we're not asking for, you know, 18 million acres like, you know, Governor Cox and others did. We're asking for a stretch of a mile here, 100 feet wide, and already next to, you know, public infrastructure property. And then those that were saying, some people out of Arizona, I don't know about you, but I don't comment on what Arizona's doing. But boy, those Arizona folks are out of this world crazy.
You're talking about they're stealing our water people, or are you talking about different people?
Yes, and people that are saying about the Lake Powell pipeline.
Yeah.
And
they're saying we're going to steal their water, which is not their water in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, if you walk through a pasture and you see what the cows left, that's what these people are giving us.
Mm-hmm.
And so having said that, there are a few parcels in there that would trace along in a more efficient route of a future pipeline. And it's our water, Utah's water anyway. It's logical we use it here. But right now, the focus of the water district is a 20-year plan. We're a couple of years in of reusing our own water. And therefore alleviating a lot of need for the pipeline for 20 years. But why not pick up these parcels if possible? But 95% of the parcels asked for are for public use in recreation and water across the county.
Now some of the naysayers are saying, look, what you're going to do is you're going to open it to developers who are going to buy it and build more stuff and trample on land that used to be free land for anybody to go on, and now they're going to charge us to use their land. And is any of that true?
Not one bit.
No.
We're not land developers, and we're not trying to facilitate developers. They're big people. They can do it on their own. But the point is that the lands remain open alongside. It's ridiculous. We're trying to build trails, people, so you can enjoy it on a bike.
Them away.
Yeah. I don't see anybody just walking along the side of SR9. That's not where people recreate. That's where we're asking for these parcels. And again, we have to pay for them. There are avenues, though, where we could simply ask the BLM to trade us land for those parcels.
Right.
So the biggest parcels, there's two big ones. We've taken them out because it was so controversial. One big piece up in Rockville, which was a Switzerland BLM piece, literally surrounded by national park or private land. It was ridiculous that the BLM would own it because they could sell it to a developer or trade it. We just wanted it to protect the town of Rockville. And because it's neighboring a parcel we already have, so it made sense that the county, but we're not home builders, and so no, that's not true.
So that Switzerland one you were talking about, that's off the table now?
I guess, you know, we're just saying, okay, we're trying to do a good thing here.
Yeah.
And everything around the jail, for example, there's bigger parcels there over in Purgatory Flats. We asked to have that, put on the opportunity. Nobody goes and recreates and hikes around there and says, oh, look how beautiful that chain link fence is, you know. So we just were trying to consolidate that again for public use.
I'm still amazed, and I'm not a politician, have not been, never will be, never plan on it, but everything that you guys try to do, and I'm a believer in democratic, you know people voicing their concerns, but it seems like everything you guys try to do, someone is freaking out, someone is yelling about something, and I just don't know how you guys put up with
it. Well,
they don't want to. It's frustrating.
You know, we had the state of the county address. Mm-hmm. I stood up there and I said, this is my phone number. If you hear something that seems off base, or if you feel like we're overreaching, call me. And I repeated my phone number several times. Guess how many calls I've had?
Not very many.
Zero.
That's less than not very many.
Now, the people there generally understand how government works. They're shakers and movers around it. We didn't have a lot of naysayers there, people that are genuinely, sort of anti-government. But still, there were enough there that you would have thought, with the Malloy bill surfacing, that they'd say, hey, what's this? Luckily, we have Mayor Bruno heads up, and shout out to her up in Springdale, because she called me. She said, tell me what the intent is, because a lot of people in Rockville and other places are nervous about you asking for that parcel.
Yeah.
And I explained it to her, and she goes, oh, my gosh, that actually would be a good thing for Rockville and the residents up in Anasazi Ridge. So thank heavens some people call, but of those general public people, they don't call.
And by the way, Mayor Bruno isn't necessarily as staunch conservative as some of us.
No.
And so for her to call and for you and her to have a conversation is a really cool thing.
It is. And I reach out to everybody up that corridor from Virgin to Springdale, because they're under fire when a lot of people come through their towns. And how can the county help?
Has it been your general experience when you hear these, I call them squeaky wheels, you hear these people really complaining a lot, do they generally already have an agenda? There's some other motivation behind the way they're acting?
Half of them want their 15 minutes of glory.
Okay.
The other half don't necessarily want to be informed of the truth, because then it takes away their soapbox.
Chips away their argument, yeah.
Yeah, so they don't want that. Mm. But there, on occasion, there are those, and I've had several letters from people who have said, I want to thank you for clearing that up, because I was wrong. But that's very rare.
I was wrong is very hard for us to say.
Yes, and I'll say it.
It's all of us. I mean, seriously, it is hard to say, because I was reading actually an article about this, Gil, and we as humans want to be right. We tend to hope that we're right, because we choose how long we sleep. We choose what we eat. We choose, what we drive. We choose what we wear, based on the idea that we're right in making these choices. And so when it comes to a bigger thing, we got to assume, right, that we're right when we get to it. And then when we find out we're wrong, we're like, but I'm right about all this other stuff. Do I have to admit? It's a hard thing for us. It's being humble is hard.
Well, it's the same thing with Zone 6. We were trying to trade 6,500, 6,000 acres, 650,000 acres. I got it right. 457 for the Northern Corridor. Well, the word got out that we were destroying it and that we were going to do this, that, and the other thing. In reality, we were trying to preserve that area for hiking, biking, the tortoise, the bear claw poppy, et cetera, mm-hmm. for 157 acres. That was a hard one to dial back. We had to get out there and say, no, we're not the evil ones here. We're trying to preserve this land for open space recreation and the BLM and state trust lands and some private property. We all joined together and saying this would be a good thing.
All right. Got a text. You want to hear it, Gil?
Yeah.
It's kind of long. I don't know if I have time to read it all, but I'll read a portion of it. Can you ask Gil, who is in charge of making everywhere you go a fee area now? We used to go to Chuckwalla Trailhead, Stone Canyon Overlook, the Diamond Valley Volcano. All those areas are fee areas. We've become just like California and other big cities, and it goes on, but I guess you get the gist of it.
Yeah, I don't want that to be a regular thing, and thanks for texting in, because I haven't been on Chuckwalla Trail since it was even called a trail way back in the day when I was just free to roam, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know but what those fee areas that go into the Desert Tortoise Reserve might not be the culprit there. Let me find that out.
Okay.
I'd love that caller to call me, 680-9853. Well, not caller, texter, 680-9853. And I will have an answer by the end of the day for that. Now, the federal fee areas drive me nuts. Like, are we not citizens? We can't walk through here, or we have to pay?
Yeah, it's America.
Like, I get it when it's Subway and they want to make sure who is there and that they're safe. But in general areas, fees for what? But Anyway.
Well, and that used to be the argument I would tell my kids or my friends or my siblings would be like, well, they got to recoup because, you know, they got to clean up and maybe there's a restroom and whatever. And you go, yeah, but if they're charging every person, you know, X amount of dollars, somebody's making some money here. You know? Yeah. That seems a little excessive. So.
Yeah.
Okay, what's that number again? One more time. We'll have our caller text you.
I would love that. 680-9853.
680-9853. All right, let's do this. Let's take a commercial break. When we come back, we've got more stuff to talk about. One of the things that fascinated me as I've been here for 30-plus years is the relationship that Dixie College, Dixie State College, then Utah Tech University, has had with the community of St. George in the county, the Washington County. It used to be, my perception when I first moved here was it was pretty tight.
Yeah.
Dixie College and St. George and this county, I mean, this was a college town. And then
I share that with you.
Something happened along the way.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
We'll talk about that when we come back. Gil Onquist, County Commissioner, is with us today on the Andy Griffin Show. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Gil, just calling me on my faulty memory. Thank you for that. I forget stuff all the time, but I appreciate you bailing me out on that one. We won't go into any more details except to say
you'll bail me out next time.
Yeah, we'll take turns. Neither of us are as young and have as good of memories as we used to have, right?
Right.
So, but I do remember Gil was a pretty good little pickleball player. We had some fun.
About
2 weeks, two or three weeks ago. So, and Gil was right in between. You like came from a meeting and then you had to hurry and play and then you had something else going on. I was like, man, this dude's crazy. But I appreciate you doing it.
We were doing a lot of work at the fair and I had to go back out. So,
wow.
But nothing better than relaxing and doing some recreation, even though we ran, we got sweaty.
Yeah, I was going to say, you and I got sweaty. But I don't think Milt or my wife got sweaty. I don't know what it is about my wife, man. I'll be out there and I'll be sweating and I'll be covered in sweat. And my wife says, it's not that hot.
Yeah.
All right.
We had a good time.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Andy Griffin Show on this Wednesday, the 20th day of May. May is a big month for the Griffin clan because I think my wife counted like 9 birthdays of siblings or in-laws in the month of May. And then I have my daughter's wedding is on Saturday, and my dad's 90th birthday is coming up. We're having a big open house for that. So it's a big month, yeah.
Well, it's a big month in Southern Utah also because we declared May as Women's Golf Month.
Nice.
And
now, before you go any further,
okay.
Gil, are you a golfer? Are you?
I can hit well off the tee, and I can putt like nobody else.
It's the middle stuff game, in between.
But I'm a landscaper, so was a landscaper.
So you're replacing a lot of divots? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I actually, I top the ball all the time because I don't want to hurt the grass. So that's my excuse for my poor middle game.
Well, you know what's funny is I'm a good putter too, and I have a good middle game. I am terrible off the tee. Yeah. So if you and I could maybe do a little best ball together, we might be okay.
I'm very consistent off the tee.
Yeah, we need to work something out. I'm consistent in that you'll never be able to find my ball after every time I try to hit off the tee because it's going somewhere it's not supposed to.
Generosity for someone else.
Yeah, someone's making money off of me. So, okay, back to Women's Golf Month. You said there is it 3 tournaments this month for women golfers?
Black Desert had the LPGA.
Of course, yeah.
And well attended. Some names out there that I hadn't expected would show up, but man, they were great, and they loved it, and it was perfect weather. There was a couple of days when it got a little windy, and they had to get off the course for an hour, but then, hey, they're not Scottish that play through tornadoes.
We don't care, laddie.
But anyway, that, and then over at Copper Rock, they're holding the Epson Tour, and then again this weekend is another Epson Tour. You've got some tickets.
On Friday, I'll be giving away tickets to the Legends Championship at Copper Rock. Actually, let's see. Today the these tickets are good for 22nd through 24th, so maybe I'll give them away tomorrow. So yeah. Somebody gets to go to the Legends Tour.
And if they want to call me, free. I can probably drum up a few because I'm happy to help. But, yeah, you give yours away to your listeners. They'll love it. Yeah. And Copper Rock has done a wonderful job. And I was talking to a golfer out of South Africa on the last weekend, and she said, I came all the way here from South Africa, and I don't know if I can leave. it's a common story.
You can stay. We'll accommodate a few more.
And then Iron Man wrapped up with their, 15 years of
races. So people keep asking me, and I tell them the answer. Well, the contract ran out, and they may be back someday. They may not. But right. I keep getting asked over and over again, why did Iron Man leave? Why did the contract end and we didn't renew? What's the real lowdown here? And
yeah, let me tell you straight up.
Okay.
Sand Hollow is the perfect swim location. Parking, then the biking. I'll call it like it is. UDOT had a huge problem with shutting down lanes on SR9. And if you've been out there, SR9 is, I don't know, maybe they're approaching 60,000 cars a day. It's insane. So that was difficult. Transitioning over through Washington City was always great, but caused some issues with traffic there. It became a traffic issue. Now, is it done? In my opinion, since I was in the very first meeting ever held that even mentioned Iron Man, I was so excited. And my heart just goes out to all the runners, professionals or otherwise, or those that bike and swim, of course. And my heart will get them back. Okay. Because they love us. And during COVID, when Kona shut down and they said, we've got people who want to just play their sport. And they said, would you entertain us? Of course, we'd done some successful full races here before. And we said, come on over. Hmm. And so that endeared them to us because, I mean, it's a big corporation. They want to make money, but at the same time, they want to help the sport of swimming, obviously, and triathlons in general.
Yeah.
Of course, biking and running, too. But to nail it down, it's gone for the moment. Until we solve the route issues, if we have the Northern Corridor, boom, done. We could use the Northern Corridor for biking. Snow Canyon still, everyone loves that monument to the race and the pictures that are generated out of that. Mm-hmm. But that's the real reason. It was mostly a traffic issue. So we'll see.
Give me some true or falses on this. Does the county and or city pay to have the Ironman here?
Yes, we do.
And is that money, is it deemed worthwhile to pay whatever money that is? I'm not going to ask you for a number. That we get that return in the tourism and sales tax dollar?
Yes, we do. However, okay. The rate of return has changed. It changes race by race and what competition. Ironman kind of have shot themselves in the foot.
Really?
No pun there, because now they have more races across the country than ever before. So sometimes you get these athletes saying, well, gee, I'm in Chattanooga, Friday and Saturday, and then I've got a quick hurry get out to St. George because I love that race. In fact, we got more responses of, I'm so sad to lose St. George, Washington County, Greater Zion, from the racers themselves, the athletes. They just love it here. But with so many Ironman events, and when it is, it depends a lot, we aren't getting as many as we did originally. Now, this one knocked it out of the park.
I was going to say, with one exception, the last one, because everybody wanted to go to the last one, right?
Yeah, it's like saying, hey, this will be the last game in Dodger Stadium. Oh, they're going to outsell it. 100,000 people are going to show up.
Yeah.
But that was part of it. The margin hasn't been as great, but I can still tell you that our hoteliers, our restaurants, those that even Airbnbs, et cetera, because some of these athletes stay a week. And they've got to eat. They got to stay somewhere, and their families come. It's still a positive thing. We're not wasting. And by the way, somebody says, I pay property tax. I don't want an Iron Man here. And we said, whoa, 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 that's transient room tax that's paying for this. Those are people that visit here and pay that tax, not a local. If right. you stay in a local hotel, yeah, and you're local, then you're going to pay it. But
right.
so no, it's not your general funds that come from property or tax. But anyway, so yeah.
So as far as the is it all hands on deck for law enforcement and even emergency personnel on that Iron Man weekend? And
yeah.
and does that mean that officers quite often are you're working whether you like it or not kind of a situation for the sheriff and the police department?
What I hear is that they're asked to take those shifts to beef it up, not forced.
Okay.
But I can tell you a lot of when I was at the volunteer appreciation dinner down at the Dixie Center, I saw a lot of law enforcement out there with their pink shirts on who had volunteered on their own time
oh, wow.
to also be in the crowd. Were they packing? I don't know. But at least that's nice to see that law enforcement was helpful. And I got to say, there were 700-plus people at that volunteer party to receive thanks from the county, from Greater Zion, which did an amazing job. And I told them, these volunteers who've done it since the beginning, we had them stand up. Have you been in every Ironman race? Stand up. And there were, it was amazing how many. But I said, don't forget, we have other things we still need volunteers for. So if you're in that spirit, you've got the marathons, we have pickleball tournaments, we have soccer and other things. But
senior games.
I was yeah. about to say, the biggest, the granddaddy is senior games, which has more athletes than the Paris Olympics had. And yeah, they come yeah. for a month or longer, and every one of those needs these volunteers, from kids to groups to individuals. It's amazing.
Okay, a couple of other things. You said you feel like, just gut feeling, that the Ironman will be back someday.
We need to find an appropriate route.
But yeah, but there's some issues that need to be yeah. resolved. Is the Northern Corridor the biggest one in that? In which case, we're still on hold on that, right? We're still in kind of this holding yeah. pattern.
Well, definitely the Northern Corridor is a no-brainer. It's not going to be full of condos and commercial spaces. It's going to be a wide-open, vista-plenty road that also has bike trails along the side. But if we're living without the Northern Corridor now, albeit with a lot of congestion at certain hours of the day and a lot of vehicles just running and polluting our good air, if we don't have it now, when it comes to Ironman, we'll shut it down. And we'll have the whole road up there. People will go back to their old way of fighting traffic and et cetera. But then that opens that road up for recreation possibilities.
In your mind, is there any other event that could take the place of the Ironman that would bring the kind of revenue visitors that the Ironman yeah. does? Is there anything else out there?
Leslie Fonger and Brittany McMichael and all those with Greater Zion are working on a NICA course, which is mountain biking, and the state has come down here many years, but with the help of some developers, we're finding a parcel that would be wonderful. That could be huge. Mountain biking is on its way up, and a lot of state tournaments are held, and regional tournaments could be held here. That would be a big one.
You don't think you'd have to block off any roads, right?
Right. We're making big improvements out at Legacy Park, which you can save that for when Victor's on, but we're working hard there. And that would... I teased a group that came together. I said, I want to get some mega hats. And they go, you mean, like, are you pronouncing that wrong? I said, no.
You mean MAGA, right?
Yeah.
No.
And I said, no, MEGA, which is Make Equestrian Great Again.
Nice.
And I'm half tempted to go pay for them myself because we want this to be a one-stop shop for everything equestrian, and so we're working hard to make improvements for that.
All right. We'll get one more commercial break in. Lots to talk about still with Gil Almquist, County Commissioner for Washington County, when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
All right, welcome back. Andy Griffin Show, Gil Michael Onquist, GMA, Good Morning America, is on the show today. Appreciate Gil being here. He's glad actually filling here. In for one of his fellow commissioners who is out of town. So we got a little double dose of Gil this month.
Thanks. I like appreciate it. That.
Not this month, but in a row anyway. When I moved to town in 1994-95, my first, very first anything public I attended was the, what they used to call the Colonel's Luncheon. It was a booster luncheon for Dixie College Sports.
Sure.
And very first one I went to, a guy by the name of Greg Kroshaw, people probably maybe have heard of him, Hall of Fame junior college coach, got up and told some off-color jokes, and because that's how Kroshaw is. I remember one of the first jokes he ever told, not really off-color, but he said that there's a reason that seagulls fly upside down over Iron County, because cedar ain't worth crapping on, is what he said, only I cleaned it up slightly. But, and it really felt like to me, I was a young sports writer, that the community and the college were really, they were married. They were a part of each
yes.
other. This was a college town. And it continued to be, I think, for maybe 5, 6, 7 years. And then somewhere in the early 2000s, they fired Kroshaw. They went Division II. They fired their radio crew, which maybe I'm a little bit biased because I was on the radio crew that they fired. They didn't just fire the crew. They fired the whole station and said, we're going to go in-house and do all our radio broadcasts from our own station on campus. That followed with, of course, transition to D1 and all kinds of different things over the next few years. And then it culminated with a few years ago changing the name from Dixie State University to Utah Tech University, which made a whole big chunk of the community kind of mad. And Gil, you're telling me that the new president is trying to maybe mend some fences?
Absolutely. I'm a Dixie College graduate. That's what it says on my diploma.
But they didn't send you a new one that said UTU or anything?
Nope, I'm there. Good. And right. I proudly say that was the best decision I ever made. When I came back here off of a mission, my dad was ill, and I saw that the family needed. I had a 4-year ride to BYU, and I said, no, I'm going to stay here. And my sister had gone to Dixie College, and I said, I'm going to work hard and take classes, and I'm going to graduate from Dixie. And it was the best thing I ever did. I have lifelong friends from that. And here I am, still in Dixie. But having said that, I've watched that slow transition. I went to every game, basketball, football, baseball.
It was a thing.
The thing. And that's where all my friends went. And later, and when we moved back here, well, when Jill and I moved here in 82-ish, we went to everything. She had a job at the college, but I said, it was a part-time job in alumni. And I said, no, you are going to love this job because you've got homecoming, you've got D-week, you've got all the fun games, et cetera. And so she naturally got smitten with the idea that we'd go to those. And then that changed. And the whole thing about the name changed. It drew such a wedge. And you'll hear Victor say, I want a town that has a university. I don't want to be a university town, meaning we tolerate the university. Rather, the university and we're married, like you said. So I have been so impressed from the day he walked into the room when we met the candidates for the new president and interviewed with them. I was so impressed. Not only did President Smead had done his homework, but he was obviously the one for the job. He wants to mend fences. He wants to make sure the community and the university are once again married. And he's got a lot of good advice. He's ignoring people that, quite frankly, drove that wedge deeper.
On both sides, yeah.
Yeah, by saying ignoring, he's not ignoring their genuineness. What I'm saying is, he knows that recipe didn't produce the cake it used to.
Yeah.
So let's get back to the right recipe. And he wants to meet with those that are still diehard Dixie fans. I am. And he's met with me. He wants to meet with those that are the biggest detractors to the former administration and say, here's what I want to do. Let's bring back our heritage. And he's a Utahn. So even though he was away for a while, he wants this to be his permanent home. So I would ask everyone, give him a chance.
Would you say that the damage is deep enough that there? I mean, words are nice, but do there need to be actions? Does something need to change? I don't know, the names or legislation or something. Does something need to change to repair these pretty deep wounds?
Well, he's all about action.
Okay.
And words can be fluffy and fun and kind and nice, but if my neighbor says he's going to take my trash can in for me when I'm away on vacation and then never does, those are just words.
Yeah.
And I really, poor example maybe, but my gut feeling is that he will be more of a president of action, meeting with community leaders, meeting with citizens, and saying, tell me what you want us to do, and you'll find a big change.
I've noticed that. So in the community, obviously a big part of having, and I'm talking athletics mostly right now, but having a successful athletic department is getting local sponsors. And it was weird. It was like everybody was all in with Dixie College and Dixie State. And then when the name change came and Croshaw got fired, all that stuff happened. It was almost like the ones that still sponsored Dixie/Utah Tech, they didn't even want people to know. Yeah, I sponsor them, but I'm really supporting the high schools because we love our high schools here in Southern
Utah.
Sure do. And it was a weird thing. It was almost like thinking needed to change.
Let me tell you what he said in a meeting we had just last week. He said, I know you're looking at the clock.
Got 2 minutes, yeah.
Well, what he said was, we should have a Utah Tech banner, logo, something in every single store so that we can really show that we're together. And he said, I know that's going to take time, but I'm willing to go and do it. Mm-hmm. And I sent him a picture of Jimmy John's over on River Road there in the Sandstone Village. They have a big Utah Tech sign over the door. It doesn't take away. He said, I want to honor Dixie at the same time. I'm happy to blend history and the current situation together so that people say, what's on your weekend? I'm going to the game. I'm going to go on campus. And the campus is beautiful, by the way. And then let's not forget, we still have Dixie Tech up
on
the hill.
That's right.
And who just won an award, by the way. Their digital design team won the state first place in a variety of categories that they sent up there. Now they'll go nationally. It's a 440,000 member It's a skills-based thing, but Dixie Tech on the Hill has a marriage with Utah Tech like never before to help the students stay local, get jobs, get the education they want. And when it comes to sports, let's have our local athletes want to play for Utah Tech, and that'll draw out the family as well.
I think it's going to take someone big, like a county commissioner, but not just one, multiple commissioners, mayors, et cetera, to try to marriage the past. I mean, you're a perfect example, Gil, of the past of Dixie College, what it was and how important it was. And somehow we need to blend that with Utah Tech. And it hasn't happened yet. And I'm hoping that it does, because, I mean, I'm a perfect example. I was a big Dixie fan. I have not really been a Utah Tech guy. And maybe that needs to change, but I'm still waiting for them to convert me.
Well, let's hope it happens. And we're a conservative area. You can't teach liberal ideas in a conservative area and keep the community. So yeah. I know he's going to change that too.
Well said. Gil Almquist, County Commissioner here in Washington County. Thank you, Gil, so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Andy.
We'll be back tomorrow.